Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
The following tale of alien encounters is true, and by true, I mean false. It's all lies, but they're entertaining lies, and in the end, isn't that the real truth? The answer is no.
And joining me now is a man who's been canceled more times than my subscription to Aaron Carter's OnlyFans page, Republican Senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley. Hey, girl.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you. You know, I grew up in...
Okay, let's cut the sh-. You objected to the Electoral College certification. You voted no on an anti-Asian hate crimes bill. But perhaps what you're most hated for is fist-pumping those violent Trump supporters on January 6th in a photo that went viral, making yours the most famous fist in the Senate, if you don't count Lindsey Graham. But that's another story.
Well, thank you for that.
Whatever.
So I think what we're seeing now is an attempt by the left to lie about our motivations, to lie about our actions in order to grab power.
Calm down, Mr. Pfister.
They want to silence dissent. They want to silence me. And I tell you right now,
I am not going to back down before a liberal mob.
All the crackpot villains in the GOP only care to cover their behind. And since the last election caused an insurrection, they've lost their goddamn minds. With their far-fetched fairy tales and heartless schemes and their lack of dignity and poise, they blabber and spout and they all tend to shout, so I try to block out their noise.
They want to shut down conservatives. They want to shut down libertarians.
Clang, clang, clang went Josh Hawley. Yap, yap, yap went Ted Cruz. Crap, crap, crap went McCarthy.
Cause his party continued to lose.
Clang, clang, clang.
Flip, flop, flip went the flippers. Bitch, bitch, bitch went the face. Mitch, Mitch, Mitch went McConnell. As his neck tried to swallow his face. Not a fact they can produce, so they distract with burger bans and Dr. Seuss.
What's wrong with them?
They block relief their voters need. Their only beef is that Joe Biden might succeed. And so push, push, push go their puppets. Yuck, yuck, yuck go the dams. Goes Liz Cheney. As the party she knew turned anarchic, askew, and obscene. Thanks to Boebert and Green.
They've lost our trust, they'd sell their soul. If only just to gain some power and control. They have no shame,
they have no shame.
Or decency,
or decency.
And who the hell that brings Santorum on TV?
Creep, creep, creep went the creeper.
Creep, creep, creep.
Grump, grump, grump went Rand Paul. Trump, Trump, Trump went Jim Jordan.
They're so slimy, they make my skin crawl.
Democrats are destroying this nation.
Bingo. Da, da, da went DeSantis. Bang, bang, bang went the feds. Clang, clang, clang went Josh Hawley. As their party implodes, gerrymanders, corrodes, and colludes. And that gate sends out nudes. They'll continue to cheat and to spar and repeat all the garbage they sell till they all go to hell.
I am not going to back down.
Calm down, Mr. Pfister.
It has now become clear in the post-Trump era that the core ideological principle that binds the Republican Party together is its contempt for democracy and its commitment to the deranged line that the 2020 election was stolen. The Republican Party has attempted to rebrand itself in the post-Trump era as some sort of populist, pro-worker party, which is, of course, ludicrous. It's all just a bull rebranding exercise. It's the only thing Trump ever cared about, branding. For example, he repeatedly claimed throughout his presidency that he was taking on the drug companies to lower prices for Americans, including in his farewell address just before leaving office.
Last month, I took on Big Pharma. The drug companies don't exactly like me too much lately. Big Pharma. And the drug companies hate me. They don't like me. Big Pharma is not a big fan of mine. And the drug companies, Big Pharma, does not exactly like your favorite president, I will tell you, but that's okay. Essentially, we're holding Big Pharma accountable. I don't need Big Pharma. They don't help me. We had Big Pharma against us. We created choice and transparency in healthcare. Stood up to Big Pharma in so many ways. They do not like me too much. They call it Big Pharma.
Sometimes I think he says they call it because he wants to get credit for teaching you a thing you already know. Other times I think he says it because he doesn't want you thinking he came up with that name. They call it Big Pharma, but I call it, wait for this, Phony Pharma. With fishy Pfizer, mad Moderna, and of course, worst of all, Jerkson and Jerkson. Of course, that promise turned out to be empty. All he did was sign a few meaningless executive orders and promise legislation that never came. In fact, after he himself got COVID during the campaign, he announced that he would make the experimental drug cocktail he received in the hospital free for all Americans, a promise that suspiciously disappeared after he made it.
I have emergency use authorization all set, and we got to get it signed now. I want to get for you what I got, and I'm going to make it free. You're not going to pay for it. I want everybody to be given the same treatment as your president, because I feel great. I feel, like, perfect.
So anytime a con artist like Trump promises to give you something for free, you should be skeptical. The point is, Trump pretended he was a warrior against Big Pharma, but of course it was all a lie. Meanwhile, yesterday, the Biden administration actually did take on the pharmaceutical industry with a historic and shocking move that surprised almost everyone and will do immense good.
U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai delivered life-saving news today when she announced the Biden administration's support for lifting intellectual property protections for coronavirus vaccines. The waiver would allow developing countries to access the information to produce their own generic vaccines instead of waiting months or years for adequate supply from the pharmaceutical companies that developed the vaccines.
Moderna's stock is taking a hit. It's down 8% now. Of course, it dropped yesterday on the news after the market closed. But this is really affecting all of these companies in the vaccine space. If you look at Novavax, which is expecting phase 3 data here in the U.S. soon for its COVID vaccine, CureVac, which is another mRNA player, which is expecting data soon, BioNTech, of course, which is Pfizer's partner, all of these stocks down about 7-9% on this patent news.
Wow, Joe Biden's scourge of Big Pharma. Who would have thunk it? Although, to me, it makes sense because Biden does have the energy of a grandpa who refuses to take over-the-counter meds and insists a swim in the lake will cure his back pain. In my day, if you had a backache, you ate some ground liverwort and rubbed some vinegar on it. And if it got really bad, you went down to Dr. Bonker's medical wagon and drank some of his magic elixir. It didn't have no Tylenol or ibuprofen in it, just straight whiskey and cocaine. But it's truly difficult to underscore just how monumental and historic this is. With one decision, Joe Biden sent Big Pharma stock prices plummeting and put people's lives over profits. And he didn't make a big flashy road garden announcement or film a weird video where he's standing near the bushes outside the White House like he lost his keys and is waiting for his wife to get home. Biden just did it. Honestly, he should make a big flashy announcement. That's the one thing Democrats are bad at. They like to be boring. And I get it. After 4 years of nonstop heart palpitations, I think we're all craving some boredom. But Democrats should also be out there telling voters they're the ones really sticking it to Big Pharma while Donald Trump and Ted Cruz hang out at Mar-a-Lago or the lobby of a Radisson. I can't tell. And another thing, it's amazing and revealing that it's this easy to just waive the patent protections on a life-saving vaccine and save lives. Why can't we do this for other medicines like insulin? Because insulin prices are a national disgrace. A patient paying roughly $175 for a vial of insulin 15 years ago might pay nearly $1,500 for the same dose today. And that's horrifying. It's a life-saving medication, not a rare beanie baby. The price of insulin shouldn't rise more than the price of Pokemon cards. Presumably, a big part of the reason this happened is because of pressure from progressives and activists on the left pushing the Biden administration to do the right thing, which is how it should be. On the right, it goes in reverse. The GOP doesn't push Trump. Trump pushes the GOP. And remember, Trump's not even in government. He's a retired semi-amateur golfer living in a weird gothic swamp hotel with a bunch of Palm Springs radiologists and Russian spies. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely face. And still, working Republican politicians have to constantly debase and humiliate themselves just to please him, which is why they all make the sad pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago to genuflect to him, like Cruz did or like Kevin McCarthy did a few months back. Remember this? Looks like when the star of a movie takes a picture with a stuntman.
The movie is about a group of old bank robbers with young wives who decide to go for one last score and rob the Taj Mahal. I play Big Red, the sexy one.
It's also why Rudy Giuliani shows up outside a landscaping company screaming about non-existent voter fraud and then has to keep his mouth shut when Trump stiffs him.
Boss, I need the cash. I'm at an ATM and nothing's coming out. Rudy, that's a claw machine. Oh, boy, Rudy, you done it again.
Rudy, got fell.
Oh, no. Wait, maybe I can grab enough Beanie Babies to break even. Come on, Rudy. Oh, you got this. Damn it. All right, give me a brick.
A prominent white nationalist has begun posting manifestos online. Oh, I'm sorry, that was the sub-headline. The headline was, Donald Trump launches new blog. That's right, disgraced former fast food spokesman Donald Trump has launched a website called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump, though a more accurate name would be From the Brain Fog of Long-Haul COVID. I don't understand why the Republican Party is still betting their entire future on Trump. He turns 75 next month. It's like getting your family an old dog and saying, hey, kids, invest all your emotions in this.
So clearly Republicans have no interest in actual pro-worker populism. They're just authoritarians who desperately crave power, which is why their sole ideological commitment, the core of their movement, is the lie that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. And now they're purging from their leadership anyone who disagrees with them. Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney is just the latest and most prominent example.
Do you believe she needs to go? And if so, who should replace her?
Yes, she definitely needs to go, and the speaker's right. We are a pro-America populist party rooted in conservative principle with Donald Trump as our leader. You can't have a Republican conference chair reciting Democrat talking points. You can't have a Republican conference chair taking a position that 90% of the party disagrees with, and you can't have a Republican party chair consistently speaking out against the individual who 74 million Americans voted for.
Jim Jordan, the Democrat talking points you're referring to are just reality. Think about how deranged what he's saying is. We can't have leaders in our party who believe in reality.
Those who refuse to accept the rulings of our courts are at war with the Constitution. Our duty is clear. Every one of us who has sworn the oath must act to prevent the unraveling of our democracy. This is not about policy. This is not about partisanship. This is about our duty as Americans. Remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar. I will not participate in that. I will not sit back and watch in silence while others lead our party down a path that abandons the rule of law and joins the former president's crusade to undermine our democracy. But our freedom only survives if we protect it. If we honor our oath, taken before God in this chamber, to support and defend the Constitution, if we recognize threats to freedom when they arise. Today, we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence. Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard only his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all. I am a conservative Republican, and the most conservative of conservative principles is reverence for the rule of law. The Electoral College has voted. More than 60 state and federal courts, including multiple judges the former president appointed, have rejected his claims. The Trump Department of Justice investigated the former president's claims of widespread fraud and found no evidence to support them. The election is over. That is the rule of law. That is our constitutional process. Those who refuse to accept the rulings of our courts are at war with the Constitution.
And again, I don't want to side with Liz Cheney. She's a pro-war torture apologist who supported Trump in 2016 and helped make the modern GOP what it is today. But she's not being punished for any of that. She's being punished for simply stating reality. The GOP's fealty to a corrupt and deeply unpopular ex-president who never won the popular vote, never cracked 50% job approval, and who fomented a violent insurrection to overturn the election shows you just how deep their contempt for democracy is. Rather than actually appeal to a majority of voters, they'd rather just rig the game so they always win. That's what they're doing right now with all these voter suppression laws. They're just trying to codify Trump's big election lie and make it canon. That's what happened this morning in Florida when Governor Ron DeSantis signed a law making it harder to vote by mail or drop box. And in a bizarre and deeply unnerving move, the bill signing was exclusively aired on Fox News, with other media outlets barred from entering the room.
Governor Ron DeSantis just signed a controversial voting bill into law, but you may have missed that happening live because local media were not allowed inside the event. Instead, the governor opted to only allow one national news outlet to cover a bill signing that would impact the voters in the state of Florida, all voters.
He signed the bill from West Palm Beach, live on Fox News.
What are you about to sign?
So right now, I have what we think is the strongest election integrity measures in the country. I'm actually going to sign it right here. It's going to take effect. So
there you go.
Bill is signed.
Well, I'm sure it's bipartisan if they're signing it exclusively on Fox News. It's like your spouse saying they have something to tell you and they want to do it live on Maury. They love to pretend these are so-called nonpartisan election integrity bills, but signing it live on Fox and Friends really gives the game away, doesn't it? It's like when a loan shark knocks on your door with two goons on either side. You know what he's there for. I got your money, I swear. I just have to get it out of the claw machine. It's truly shocking to see the actual business of government turned into a right-wing cable news exclusive and on Fox and Friends, no less. The dumbest of Fox shows, which is saying a lot. It's like live streaming emergency heart surgery on E-Bomb's World right next to videos called Top 10 Skateboard Fails and Dude Poops His Pants in a Del Taco. The GOP has attempted to rebrand itself as a populist pro-workers party, but it's all a giant fraud. All they really care about is dismantling democracy and purging anyone who disagrees with the unhinged lie that Donald Trump actually won the 2020 election. They don't care what it means for you, so long as Trump can say,
I feel great.
But perhaps the stupidest election-related story is currently taking place in Arizona, where Republicans have been trying to relitigate the presidential election by recounting all the ballots in the state's most populous county.
This is yet another tally of the nearly 2.1 million ballots in Maricopa County. But this so-called audit is unlike any other. These are ballot counters heading into a shift.
Have you ever done election counting before?
No, but there's nothing to it. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's not reassuring. Normally when a guy in those sunglasses says, there's nothing to it, it's pretty obvious, he's just seconds away from reversing his brand new ATV through the front window of a Fuddruckers. And for the record, this recount is a total joke. The audit company in charge, Cyber Ninjas, is owned by an advocate of the Stop the Steal movement. And obvious bias aside, the process alone seems pretty slipshod. Arizona's Secretary of State has expressed alarm over accounts of ballots being left unattended and untrained workers using different rules to count ballots, all of which the audit's official Twitter account disputed as baseless claimies, which doesn't exactly fill you with confidence about their attention to detailees. And it is genuinely insane to swoop into a county that, remember, has already done multiple audits of its election count, finding no evidence of fraud, with the attitude of, okay, but what if we do it this time? And it gets even worse when you consider the Secretary of State is now receiving death threats. And all of this is so that they can chase down crazy conspiracy theories like this one.
There's accusations that 40,000 ballots were flown in.
To Arizona?
Into Arizona, and it was stuffed into the box, okay? And it came from the southeast part of the world, Asia, okay? And what they're doing is to find out if there's bamboo in the paper.
Why do you check for
because
bamboo?
Because they use bamboo in their paper processing.
Who's they?
People in Southeast Asia.
Wow. Southeast Asians attempted to sway the 2020 election in Arizona via bamboo ballots.
And so I think what the reality is as a party, we have to have an internal look and a full accounting as to what led to January 6th. I mean, right now it's basically the Titanic. We're like, you know, in the middle of this slow sink, we have a band playing on the deck telling everybody it's fine. And meanwhile, as I've said, you know, Donald Trump's running around trying to find women's clothing and get on the first lifeboat. And I think there's a few of us that are just saying, guys, this is not good, not just for the future of the party, but this is not good for the future of this country.
Voter fraud.
This election was stolen.
Where is the evidence? Right here, Sean.
Molly Bobbins, why does the GOP want to stop minorities from voting?
Because they know minorities won't vote for them.
Is that why Papa called Tucker Carlson a stupid head?
Young man, you know you're forbidden to use those words, Tucker and Carlson.
What may we say when we're frustrated with Republican leadership, Molly Bobbins?
Well, there is one word, but it's very long and difficult to pronounce. Perhaps if I sing it. It's GOP's a cult for scammers, liars, thugs and traitors. Old and rich and mostly male, good Christian loving haters. Moscow Mitch and Cancun Ted and all their imitators. Plus Matt Gaetz, the Norman Bates of liars, thugs and traitors. Jim Jordan is a scary twit whose scandals are quite crass. Ron Johnson is an idiot. Josh Hawley, what an
this
ass.
Woke mob.
There's Tommy Tubes and Marco Rubes and Ben Marjorie, a bitchy backward bunch of boobs, now throw in Lady G. Oh, GOP's a cult for scammers, liars, thugs, and traitors. Facts don't stand a chance in hell for Fox's commentators. Tucker, Sean, and Lara are prolific nauseators. Boebert plus McCarthy equals liars, thugs, and traitors. Of course, there are those who say it backwards to show off. Traitors, liars, thugs, and scammers, cult is the GOP. The country's in the toilet from the liar they applaud. And still they won't admit or call the orange fraud a fraud. But I know we will make it, and I'll tell you how I know. Cause finally in the White House there's a leader we call Joe. So please don't be a GOP brain liar, thug, or traitor. We need more solutions, not another agitator. Lies are wrong, truth is right, and no one likes a hater. Brotherhood's our common good and makes us even greater. So don't be a schmuck like Tucker, be more like Ruth Bader. With our states united, all America is greater.
Thanks, Jen. I have questions on a couple different topics. First, given the number of former Obama administration officials that are now in this Biden administration and the president's relatively light schedule, there's a growing perception that this is really just the third term of President Obama. What do you say to people who say that?
Who were saying that? Who's saying that?
You hear that a lot in the media.
Who in the media?
Different people.
Like,
well, there was lots of questions about when you had Japanese Prime Minister Suga here on the one and only so far in-person bilateral head of state meeting. It was Vice President Kamala Harris who greeted the Prime Minister. Many people found that odd. She's already taking independent one-on-one calls with key allies like Prime Minister Morrison and Justin Trudeau. So I just want to get your reaction to people who question that.
Well, it's hard to react when I don't know what people you're talking about.
Take, for example, the uproar over this New York Post story that claimed that copies of a children's book written by Vice President Kamala Harris were being given to migrant kids in their welcome kits. That tale from the border didn't just border on BS. This was USDA grade A bullshit. And the reporter who wrote the story resigned, claiming she was forced to make it up. But the damage was done. pumped out over the airwaves at the bull factory, also known as Fox News.
A sickness that is new to doctors and an attorney is using it as an excuse for suspected Capitol Hill rioters. It is called Foxitis. You know Foxitis, aka watching too much Fox News. But will the judge actually buy it?
Are you or a loved one suffering from Foxitis? A serious medical condition affecting many older Americans and people who are hoarding canned goods in their sheds. Symptoms of Foxitis include irritable gut feel, Bartero mononucleosis, swollen Ainsley, blood in your Ducey, Ingram toenail, Janine pyroids, Tucker carcinoma, Kaylee McAnal cyst, and Schonertal warts. Thankfully, there is a cure. Introducing Off, from the makers of Mute and Change the Channel.
To stop those monsters, 1, 2, 3. Here's a fresh new way that's trouble-free. It's got Paul Anka's guarantee.
Guarantee void in Tennessee. Just don't look, just don't look. Just don't look, just don't look.
Wrinkles.
Homer, stop looking!
Don't make us poke your eyes out, Dad!
Oh.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Thanks for the songs from Husker Du, Randy Rainbow, The Eagles, The Clash, and Betty Midler. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Leonard Nimoy, Seth Meyers, Colin Jost, Liz Cheney, Ron DeSantis, John Oliver, Jen Psaki, Emerald Robinson, Jim Acosta, The Late Show, Paul Anka, Lisa Simpson, Homer Simpson, and Marge Simpson, and Timothy Leary.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.